John chapter 15, verse 13 to 17. We're going to read over there. Today I'm going to talk to you about friends with understanding. Friends that understand. All right, John 15, verse 13, and it says, greater love. Come on, we want anything better than that? Who wants to be loved? Put your hand up. I want to be loved. I'm going to be loved a whole lot. Okay? Ask Pastor Cher. I have lots of needs. I'm very needy. Very needy. I always want people around me. I always like people. I like people. Right? Isn't that true, Pastor? Huh? I don't like to be alone. Because the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Right? Isn't that true? And that it's not good for woman to be alone either. I'm not talking about spouse. I'm talking about having people around you. Amen? You ever know what happened to loners? Check out a loner and tell me about them. And ask, do you want to join the loner club?
No.
No. So, look at this. What does God have for us? What does Jesus have for us? Greater. Tell somebody you can love greater. Tell them you can love greater. Yeah, we can love greater, man. We got to come into greater love. Hello? Hello? I know it's not six people in here. It's like seven. All right, good. The seventh one was good. Greater love has no one than this. Well, look at the love. Than to lay down one's life for his who? For his who? Oh, my God. For his friends. You are my friends. Is your screen blinking over there?
No.
Oh, it's just mine. Okay. You are my
friends.
You are my
friends.
You are my
friends.
Why?
If you do whatsoever I commanded you.
Ooh, that's friends with condition. That's a different message right there. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends if you what?
Do whatever I command you.
You see, a lot of times, all right, let's go. I'm going to go right back. No longer do I call you what?
Friends.
I don't call you servants. For a servant does not what?
No.
A servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends. Oh my God. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that we could have come to church. Thank you we could have got out of our bed. God, some people didn't get up this morning. We say thank you that we could have got out of our beds. Thank you that we could have wake up. Thank you that we could breathe. Thank you, God, that we can smile. Thank you that we can laugh. Thank you that we can lift our hands. Thank you that we can walk. Thank you, God, that we can move right to left, left to right. Thank you that we're in our right minds. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. You might be seated. Praise God. Today I want to talk to you about friends that understand. Jesus said, I do not call you servants, but what do I call you?
Friend.
You know, we all sing this song. You know, I am a friend of God. We know that song, right? He calls me what?
Friend.
But who knows, friendship has responsibilities. If you become friends with someone without you knowing it, you're taking on a responsibility. So Jesus says to them, you are my friend if what? If you do what I command. A lot of times, because we have received salvation so easily, because we got it by what? Faith. For by grace are ye saved what? Through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, oh, I'm better than you. Oh, look at me. Oh, my name is Pastor Sam, and I'm so holy and I'm so righteous. Look at you. You're a filthy sinner because you always drunk and you smoke. And we see that. But what about the person that has malice? What about the person that has envy? What about the person that's greedy? You know, you see a lot of folks that look so rich and everything. But you know, a lot of time when God looks at their heart, he don't see riches and a blessed. He doesn't see a blessed person. He sees a greedy person. And God rejects those who are greedy. Remember what happened to the man that built the barn? He said, oh, I'm going to break down my small barns. I'm going to build big barns because what? My crops have yielded so much. And he said, I'm going to break it down. And I am going to what? Build bigger ones. I'm going to stock it up. I'm going to put my feet up and say, oh, it is well with my soul. But God said, you fool. Tonight your soul is required. Tonight your soul is. So we see things and we judge on the outside. But the Bible says God looks at our heart. So now Jesus is calling us friends, and he says, you will be my friends if you do whatever I command. So I was saying, when you take on a friend, you're taking on responsibility. If your friend call, guess what? You got to answer. Because who are they? They're your friend. Now, they're not an acquaintance, nor are they someone you work with, or someone you just say hi to on the street, or someone you pass. If that person calls you, you won't even know who that person is. But Jesus is talking about a friend. And a friend is not to be taken lightly. Because friendship don't come easy. Amen. I'll say that again. Friendship do not come easy. Jesus did not wake up the first day and call Peter a friend. The moment he said, oh, Peter, come follow me, my friend. He never said that. He said, come follow me and I will make you. Stop. He said, I will make you. I will make you. If you read early in the chapter, Jesus said, if you abide. If you what? The word abide means to remain, to be settled. To spend time with. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, he didn't say if you just abide in me. Now, the moment you get saved, you're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he becomes what? New creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. But now, if the word abides in you, you're going to look different. You abiding over there is one thing. It's your spiritual position has changed. But after your spiritual position has changed, something else has to happen. The word of God must dwell in you how? Richly. It said, let the word of God be plenty in you. That's what that means. When somebody's rich, they got lots of what? Money, right? If you poor, you got a little bit of money. Now, so how we can also be spiritually poor? Jesus said, you're poor, you're wretched, and you're naked. You with me? So when you can be in Christ and still. Now, he was speaking to a church in Revelation.
Yes.
A church. Somebody say church.
Church.
Say church people.
Church people.
He was talking to people. He said, you're poor, you're wretched, even though you have a lot of earthly possession.
Yes.
Now, what I want for you, church, and everyone that is listening to me, and what God desires is for us to have lots of earthly things.
Yes.
He said, I'll give you 100-fold in this life and the life to come.
Amen.
God wants you to be blessed. He said, I will bless you and I'll make you a blessing. When Zacchaeus got saved, he said, oh, master, thank you for coming to my house. I've been looking for this life, and I've been trying to find it in thieving other people's money. I was being greedy, and I thought that would satisfy. But now that I have found you, I'm going to abide in you, and your word will abide in me. And as it abides in me, I will restore to everyone I have stolen from 4 times.
Yeah.
His abiding had an effect. His abiding had an effect. So when we abide in Christ, it moves us from just being a child of God and we become his friend.
Yes.
You know, you and I can be from the same parents and we're not friends.
Yes.
Ouch. So in the same sense, we can all be in the church, but we're not friends of God. You're saved, you're going to heaven, but a friend is someone that gives delight. You with me? A friend gives delight. When you see your friend, man, you feel nice. It's like something spring up in you, and you might have been having a hard day, but when you see that friend, you go, oh man. And then you start to tell your friend what you're going through, and they give you, they help you. They say, don't worry, I'm here, man. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. You don't have to worry. Once I'm here, it's gonna be okay. So God wants to do a greater work in us, and he wants to transition us. Now I thought I would have preached this message from the point of view being a friend of God and you having an inheritance with God as a friend of God. But then the Lord says, no, I want my friends to understand. To understand why it is I came. He said, greater love, there's no greater love than a man laid down his life for a friend. And we know that Jesus came and he went to the cross and he took our sins and he took our shame and he took our burdens and he took our sicknesses and he took poverty and he nailed it to the tree. He laid down his life and he took on everything that the enemy can throw your way. He took on depression. He took on frustration. He took on confusion. He took on, my God, cancer. He took on diabetes. He took on hypertension. He took over all types of blood diseases. Anything you could think about. He took it on and he nailed it to the tree. What was he revealing? His love for us. And so that we can be liberated and we can just move from the knowing him as Savior to becoming his friend. So the process of building fellowship, building friendship rather, requires levels of intimacy. Levels of intimacy. Now, I have not met a person yet except someone who's a little kooky, a little out of there, a little few screws might be missing. You may meet some people and automatically like, oh boy, there's a screw loose here. All right, you guys are nice people, but I'm telling you the truth. You meet some people, you go like, oh boy, something's off here. There's some cylinder is misfiring. You ever met anybody like that? Okay, thank you very much. And the people I lift their hand is probably the people. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because guess what? Somebody is thinking that a screw is loose in you. When you think a screw is loose in somebody, they say, well, I think you're crazy too. Like I was actually having this conversation with my friend this week. And I said, do you ever think that something is wrong with you? Did you ever stop and analyze yourself and think of, where am I on the IQ scale? Anyone ever thought of that?
Yes.
Am I like a smart person? Because you know there's always smarter people.
Yes.
So I was actually having this conversation with my friend, and based on the answer he tell me, it don't seem, I think he think he's just great. So, but I think that sometimes. Sometimes I, when I get around certain people, I'm like, wow, these people are smart. You ever met a smart person?
Yes.
All right, you guys need to meet some new people, okay? You need to go out and go to the library, and you're gonna find some smart people over there. You must meet one, right? But yeah, to become, you don't just open up and tell all your life story when you meet someone the first time. You have to build trust. You watch the person, you listen to that person. You listen what they're talking about. If they're telling you everybody else's story, guess what? They're going to probably go and tell somebody your story. So it takes time. Now, why do we think in the kingdom it doesn't take time? To build intimacy with Jesus. Why do we think you can run up to the altar and boom, something is going to happen one day and the whole Bible is going to download into you and you're going to start living straight as a level? Or why do we think that, you know, I don't have to read my Bible and I don't have to pray? But Jesus said, you must what? Abide. Abide. Think of the disciples. How you think they were able to live this life? Is because they were with Christ all the time. How were they able to do the greater works? Because they were what? With him all the time. It takes time to develop intimacy. It takes time to become friends. I'm not going to all of it that it takes, but we're going to stop there. Now, when you first meet someone, that's called what? Introduction. Isn't it true? Someone introduces you, or you're on the bus and you end up meeting this person. That is your what? First introduction. You know that we all had an introduction to Jesus?
Yes.
And sometimes we get stuck at introduction. But I want to tell us today, we're not going to remain this. Just declare that. I will not be stuck at introduction. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you have also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of what? Your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of what?
Promise.
Don't promise represent future?
Yes.
So don't that mean that there's more to come?
Yes.
But some, too often, we get stuck right here. I'm not saying you. I'm talking about the people that are not here. We get stuck at only believing and getting born again. But somebody said there is more.
There is more.
There is more. Now Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with your spirit that we are what? God's children. Now, you could meet a drunkard. And you say, are you saved? He said, yeah, I am saved. I received Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I am saved. You know who tells him he's saved? The Holy Spirit. But do you know the Holy Spirit is talking to him about other things that he's not opening up about? Us sitting in this room, you come to church every week, but the Holy Ghost is talking to you about some things, but you shutting him down when he talk those language. I'm not going to go into any topics. Psh, psh, psh. Don't go there, Lord. Let's stay over here. We shut him down because it is comfortable to stay over here. It is comfortable to know that you're saved and that you're going to heaven and now you're going to do your thing. But somebody say, friends understand. We're going to get to that in a second. There's a process of getting to know him. John 15:5 says so. There's introduction, but then there is the process of getting to know the person. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, remains, stays in me, and I in him will bear what? Much fruit. If I remain with Christ. Now, the problem is we get saved and we run off. You run off. You know, some people throw your names around. Your name around when they need a favor. They say, oh, you know, Mr. Brown, that's my friend, man. That's my friend. Why? Because they know Mr. Brown's name will work in this situation. A lot of times we become situational with Jesus. Oh, I am a Christian. When you need a job and you want people to think highly of you, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And you put on your church language. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless you, sister. Oh, how are you doing? I'm blessed. Because it is what? Convenient. It is what? It is convenient. But Jesus says it another way. He said, if you abide in me, oh my God, he who abides in me and I in him will bear what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, he wasn't talking about going to work. He wasn't talking about doing your hair. He wasn't talking about getting an education. No, he was talking about the kingdom. He was talking about operating in the kingdom of God and operating as his friend. And operating as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Here we go. We're going to go. We're going slowly, but we are going. Now, how does the knowing take place? The book of James says in chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God. Draw near to God. Tell somebody you have a responsibility. A lot of times we're saying, Lord, oh, come to me, Lord. Come to me. Oh, Jesus, touch me. Oh, Jesus, touch me. Oh, Jesus, do this for me. Oh, Jesus, lift my burden. And we do the shake, we do the rock, we do everything and nothing happens. But he says, you ought to draw near to me. He said, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. No, he did the part of coming. Have you ever seen Jesus on the street saving people? No, he's not on the street. Have you ever seen Jesus holding crusades? No. You know why? He already did that. He already did that. He came, the Bible says, wherever he went, the multitudes followed him. Because they wanted to hear the words that he had to speak. So he already did that. He already preached to the multitudes. He already visited the sick. He already took care of people. But now it is man's, after he has paid the price on Calvary, it is now our duty to what? Draw near to God. In our quest as a friend of God, it will take your intention to draw near to Jesus. How do we draw near? We get into the Word of God. We get into prayer. The first thing you're doing is right now you're in the house of God, that you can receive instruction. Because what? The word of God edifies us. Amen. The word of God edifies us. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Being in the word, being, spending time in worship, spending time in fellowship with like-minded believers. That is what's going to help you to what? Draw near to God. We remember the man that was sick and that was on the stretcher. He couldn't move, but his friends took him to Jesus. Listen, do not underestimate the power of people in your life. When it comes to the kingdom of God, people are one of the greatest assets we have. You don't see Jesus, but you see me. Isn't that true? Hello? You don't see Jesus. You don't come in for Jesus to lay his hands on you. Is that true? No, but you come here for God to work through a man. So don't despise your brothers and sisters. They may just have something that you need. You with me? They may just have something that you need. So he says, draw near to God. And what is the result? It says, he will draw near to you. If you draw near to him, what would he do? Walk with me. If what would he do?
He will draw near to you.
He will draw near to you. So, back to verse 15. He says, I no longer call you servants, for servants do not what? Servants do not know. Meaning servants do not understand. Servants, all servants care about in this sense is their paycheck. They come, they do the work, they get the pay, and they leave. Your walk with God should not be what you can get. We need to mature out of those things. When I was young and the church used to be on 237th Street, my dad asked a question. He said, if God doesn't do anything for you, will you stop serving him? And I said, yes. Because at that time I had limited understanding. I was a teenager, right? I said, what good it is if you're serving God and he does nothing for you? What kind of thing is that? Why even serve God? But at that time, I didn't understand that we don't serve God for what we can get, but we serve God for who he is. We don't serve him because he saved us. No, we serve him because he is the Savior.
Amen.
You understand that? Now, the fact that we're saved is an amazing privilege because there's so many people around us that are not saved. That's why we cannot take our salvation lightly. Amen? So we have to understand who God is, and he calls us his, not a servant, but he calls us his friend. Jesus calls us a friend. And that word no is the word that means it's E-I-D-O in the Greek, and it says it is us having a spiritual comprehension. It is us having spiritual comprehension. So Jesus, after spending time with his disciples, he says, you are no longer my servants. You're not following me for what you can get from me. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you cannot be mine. And the Bible says many of them left. They left and they went away sorrowful. Yeah, this mic is disgusting. This mic is like those people that went away. Right? Yeah. So, glory be to God. Jesus, the Lord is like, I can't hear you. Amen? Here we go. Good. So, where was I? That mic just tripped me up, man. It's the power of sound. Just like faith comes by hearing. My God, you got to be so careful what it is you hear, okay? So, he says, they're following me because of what they could have gotten from me. He said, you drink my blood, you eat my flesh. That's how you become my disciples, right? And so these were the ones that remained. So he said to them, you are my friend. Because what? You have an understanding of the kingdom. You have an understanding of what I have come for. for? What is the purpose of my coming? When Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. He says, he didn't say you're John the Baptist. He didn't say that you are the prophet. He said, no, you are the one we've been waiting on. You are the Messiah. You are the Redeemer of man's soul. You are the one that came to lift and undo the burden of sin that we have carried. So now Jesus wants to call us friend. How do we become his friend? We must mature. I said we must mature. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, do not be children in your understanding. You know, children have limited understanding, right? Like we have baby Dave. All baby Dave wants is what he wants to do. And if he can't get to do it, what does he do? Cry, kick, and scream. Isn't that true? You have anybody ever had a baby? Anybody ever had a toddler now? Now, toddlers just want to run around and do what they call a terrible twos, right? Because they just want to do what they want to do, how they want to do it. And if you try to stop, and they embarrass you in public, they make people think you're trying to kill them. You ever see the kids scream in the supermarket? And all their mom is trying to do is say, you can't have that today. And they're like, ah! They throw themselves down on the floor. That is what God is saying. He said, stop being like kids spiritually. Brethren, do not be like children in understanding. However, in malice, in malice be babes, but in understanding be what? Somebody say it. Mature. We must be mature. Well, just like you have grown, there was a time you were 14, but now you're probably 24 or 44, or you went on to be 54. And some of you are now 70. You're not 14 anymore. You have grown. Maybe you had a little boyfriend that still has a crush on your 14-year-old self, but you have gone past that. And every time he sees you, he smiles. But you're not smiling.
Come on.
Am I talking to any real people here?
Yes.
When he sees you, his eyes light up. You're like, oh, what's the excitement? Isn't that true?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Listen, I had a kindergarten girlfriend, okay? I know what that was like. Right? So, but it says we must what? Mature. Hebrews 6:1 says, NLT. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. And be taken forward. Somebody say, be taken forward. Be taken forward. It says unto perfection. That word perfection means maturity. When people are mature, they are grounded. They are settled. The Bible says, be aware of those who are unstable. For I think it's the book of Timothy. He says, don't hang around unstable people. Because guess what? Birds of a feather, what they do? Flock together. So don't even depend on unstable people. You can't depend on them. They are not what? What's that word? My mind just went blank. You cannot depend on them. They are unstable. You cannot rely. They are unreliable. Are you with me? So God is looking for us to understand what the kingdom of God is about. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than a man lay his life down for his friend. Jesus is saying, I came to lay my life down, and if I lay it down, I will take it up. We saw that happen. He resurrected from the dead. Why did he resurrect? So that others can be resurrected. So now, if we're going to be a friend of Christ, he said, those who do what I command are my friends. What did Jesus say? He said, go ye into all, Matthew 28:19, he said, go ye into all the world and make what? Disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see in the lives of the disciples that were with Christ, let's look at the 12. After Jesus died, pack on After Jesus died, they did not pack up and go home. But what Jesus said to them, he gave them specific instruction. He gave them specific instruction in Acts 1. And he said, and while they were gathered together, he what? Commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem. Remember, those who do what I command, who are they? All right. I know you guys checked out. It's okay. I will go ahead again. Let's go back. John 15. Go back to the word. We're going to see it. When you see it for yourself, it makes a difference. Verse 14. You are my friends if you what? If you do. Whatever. If you're going to be a friend of God, he's going to tell you to do some strange things. He's going to tell you to do some big things. He's going to tell you to do some things that are beyond your capacity. Because if you can do it, it's within your capacity. But God is going to call you to do some things that are bigger than you. And let's look at the bigger thing. He said, do not leave Jerusalem. Now imagine that. They probably said, we want to go back to Galilee to our family. I got to go see my wife. I got to go see my grandma. I got to go see this person. I got to go see that person. But Jesus gave them a specific commandment. And he said, remain in Jerusalem. Why? Because there was something that was coming for them. There was a blessing that was on the way. And he said, but wait for the who? The gift of the Father. Now, if these guys were not the friends of Christ, they had not taken on the mind of Christ, they had not taken on the understanding, he says, well, you know, servants don't know, but what does friends? Friends know. Is it any difference? Servants don't know, but friends know. Friends comprehend what it is God Christ came for, what it is he wants to do. So that is why when we have prayer meeting and you see some people show up and they're praying and they're travailing and they're crying out for souls, they're crying out that people be liberated, they're crying that chains break. Why? It's because they know. They have become a friend of God. Because when you have a good friend, you know about that person. You know their dreams. You know their plan for life. They share it with you. And the more you stick with them, you're going to find out something you didn't know before. Hello? Even you're married to your spouse. Oh, they go, oh, I didn't tell you this. And it's 10 years I've been married. But they told you something else. You found, now, it's not malicious that they didn't tell you. But they probably didn't remember to tell you. Are you with me? Yeah. It just never crossed their mind. I'm not talking about bad things. It can just be things. But as you spend time, you're uncovering. Yeah. So Jesus said to them, he said, wait in Jerusalem because there is more. There is a greater dimension that is coming. There's a greater level of power that is coming. Oh my God. He said, remain for the gift of the Father, of the Father, the promise of the Father. Let's put that up for Acts chapter 1, verse 4, so we can read together. Let me skip over here. Hallelujah. You with me?
Yes, amen.
Good. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. Now watch here. For John truly baptizes with what? Water. That is what? That is elementary. That is your initiation into the kingdom. That is you. Remember we talked about that? Ephesians, where you heard the gospel, you received the gospel. That is the elementary things. Now it's great. It's the greatest gift. It's the best gift. But for a friend of God, it does not suffice.
Amen.
You have to now advance beyond that. Amen? And this is where Jesus was taking them further. He said, if you're going to do the greater works, you got to get this. Amen? He said to them, greater works you will do because I go to the Father, but it is not possible for you to do it. So now, the fact that they understood they were a friend of Christ and Jesus, they were now willing to wait. They were willing to set their agenda aside. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you willing to set your agenda aside?
Yes, amen.
Are you willing to put your plans aside? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. He didn't say deny your friend. He didn't say tell your friend to deny. He said you must deny yourself. And you must take up your cross and get ready to follow him. It's not going to be always easy, but you know that you're going to land safe. Amen. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So he said, wait in Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Oh, I'm reading two different versions. That's what's messing me up. My Bible's, let's go to four. Back to four. All right, look down at my. I'm being assembled. Oh my God. He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Because Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost all the time. He said, for the Spirit of God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to liberate those who are bound, those that are held captive. So he said, you have heard me talk about him, and I have spoken to you about the gift of the Father, and you have also seen the manifestation in my life. But now, verse 5, it's going to be yours. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be what? Baptized. You shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now Bishop Oyedepo says from Nigeria, he says, if you can't tarry, you can't carry. A lot of us want to carry glory, but we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. He said, wait in Jerusalem. We don't want to wait in the place of prayer. We don't want to lay in the place of prayer. We don't want to spend an hour with Jesus. No, that's too much. Oh my God. You're saying, Pastor, prop me up and send me home. No, if I prop you up and send you home, the devil is waiting to kick the prop off from under you. But if you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you'll get a revelation in your spirit that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rise in judgment, you have the power to condemn. So instead of you looking for somebody to pray for you, you can now go forward and pray for somebody else. Now Peter got so, he was such a friend of God, so filled with power, so filled with anointing, that when he walked, his shadow healed the people. When they went up to the temple, because of the understanding and the knowing, they got baptized with power. The man was at the gate, a beautiful lame from his birth. He said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Now, let me show you how glorious days we're living in. We had 400 plus years of this operation. From the time when Christ ascended to 400 plus years of the Holy Ghost working. But then the church got hijacked. You know, the Holy Ghost was not normal up to the 19th century. This is the 21st century, right? So we come to church and we see the Spirit moving. We see the laying of hands. We see healings. We see miracles. We see breakthrough. But do you know that didn't exist? The church got hijacked. Hijacked. There we go. Okay. I got a lot of teachers in here. Church got hijacked. You know, like the plane gets hijacked. The pilot is no longer in control. Do you know that if we want, we can hijack the church? Yeah. And we can come up with deceiving doctrines. You know, people follow cults. Be careful. Don't say you can't be deceived. Just stay in the presence of God. Allow the word of God to dwell richly in you. Let it abide in you. You know, some Christians, Jehovah's Witness, come to their house and deceive them. And they get possessed with demons and they're gone. They're gone. So be careful. So about 400 plus years, we had the move of God. We had the Spirit of God working. But then the Roman Catholic Church hijacked the movement. Let me help you guys. You know, there was a time that the common man could not get salvation. You needed money to buy salvation. You know that salvation was for sale. Why you think the mafia people don't serve God, but they send money to church? Because they feel that if they pay their penance, they're going to be saved. So that's a part that's embedded in them. It's embedded. So they go kill people, do this, do wipe out people, whatever corruption they do. But once that money goes to the church, they feel that they're saved. And they wear Mary around their neck and all of this foolishness. What we have today is a blessing. So let me help you. So then I think it's, what year, was it 15 something that, oh my God, my brain is slipping here. But we had a man by the name of Martin Luther in Germany. He got tired of the system. And he went, I think it's what, 250 or 350 years ago. He went and he nailed his thesis on the church door. And they started to protest that salvation is by grace. You know the Bible we have, people didn't have Bibles? People never had Bible. They never had a Bible until about 1500 and something, a man by the name of William Tyndale. They killed him for trying to translate the Bible so that the common man could have it. So they started to fight again for salvation by grace and faith. Because it awakened, and now there's always a remnant that God keeps. Right? There's always a remnant. So these men said, you know what? This thing cannot go on. The revelation of scripture came real to them, and they started to fight for what it is we have. Now, they were not filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. They weren't speaking in tongues. They weren't moving in the power. A lot of times we reflect, and we reflect on the early church, and we get stuck there. But we forget the dark ages. Now, when you talk to some people about Christianity, you know what they talk to you about? The Crusades. Anybody ever heard of the Crusades? Right? Not crusade where they preach under the tent. The Crusades where they went in the name of God and killed people. And they went in the name of the church. So that's why when you even hear the news talk about the church, you got to be able to say, we're not part of that church. We're not part of that church. We don't burn candles. We don't pray to men. We don't pray to saints. We pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, this power came back at Azusa Street Revival, which was early 1900s. I think it's something about 1904. Back in Azusa Street in California, in LA. That is when men began to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Not that it didn't happen, but it became mainstream again. This gospel is bloody business. A lot of people have died for opening their mouth that Jesus is the liberator. Jesus is the only way. People want you to think that the church is the way. No, Jesus is building his church, but coming to church does not save you. Amen. Have having a relationship with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is what makes the difference. And that is where the understanding comes, what the kingdom is about.
Amen.
The Bible said the kingdom is not meat and drink, meaning the kingdom is not physical things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Men like Reinhard Bonnke, these men understood what the kingdom was about. They left their homes and they went into Africa to preach the gospel. Missionaries leave their home. They went to China and they preached the gospel. My God, they leave William Booth. They came. We all know the Salvation Army. But you know who those men were? They were revivalists. They were revivalists. They would go and preach. And now we know the Salvation Army ringing bell at Christmas time. That's not what they were about. The movement got hijacked. And they settled to become a charitable organization. But these men were people that were pointing people to Jesus. You know that Smith Wigglesworth, the great man that would raise the dead, there was a time when he himself was cold, but his wife was on fire for God. And she was a great preacher of the gospel. And she would go around with William Booth and his wife, and they would preach revivals in England. Why? They were friends of God. They were friends. They're people that, he said, friends know the way of the master. We're sitting in here today. Do we know the way of the master? Do we know the heart of the master? Do we know what Jesus is about? Imagine we have a church that is packed and nobody's a friend of God. We're missing the point. Because guess what? If you're not a friend, it is not likely for you to raise your children to be a friend. Let me show you the blessing of generations. Let's go. Let's meet a man that knew something that God wanted to do. This is the last one. There are benefits. There are generational benefits for your friendship with God. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. And he was called a what? Friend of God. Who was he? Who was he? He was a friend of God. Now Abraham got onto the system of God. And when God got Abraham, he said, Abraham, or when he first encountered God, I should say, God told him to do something strange. He said, Abraham, leave your family. Come out from your father's house. Leave your family behind. Come out from among them. Leave them behind. And I will be your father. And then God renews that promise to us. He said, come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing again. And I will be a father unto you. Amen? But watch here. Abraham was a friend. Over in Isaiah 40. I didn't write my chapter down, but I'll read it to you. You guys could catch me as we go. Verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant. Who is he? Who are they?
Servant.
Who are they?
Servant.
Jacob, whom I have chosen. The descendants of Abraham, my friend. You can be descended from a friend but become a servant. That's what I just said. If you're not a friend, it is unlikely that your children will be friends of God. But let's go to the next verse. Because of the friendship, there was a blessing. The descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Verse 10, because of the friendship, who did God start with? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's speaking to Israel here. And he said, fear not. Did we find the scripture? What is it? Isaiah what? Isaiah 40? There we go. It's up. Okay. Good. We're over in 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Why? Because there was a friendship that was established generations long ago. The Bible said the curse goes to the third, the fourth generation, but the blessings of God will go to a thousand generations. When you serve God, you become a friend of God, you abide in Christ, you're setting up your generations in the future to receive the blessings, to receive the goodness, even if they reject because of what you have set up. Blessing can flow to them. So friendship has generational blessing. Look here. He said, we often quote this scripture, but this is the condition. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will what? Help you. A lot of times, the blessings we're receiving because some friend of God has prayed for us. Somebody that was a friend of God was interceding for you. Someone that had the revelation of the kingdom was standing in the gap like Abraham when Lot was down hanging out in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, God, you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So I am standing here in the gap. I know my authority and I know my God. They that know their God shall be strong and they shall do what? Exploits. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my what? Righteous right hand. And if you know anything about the right hand of God, it is the place of authority. Where is Jesus seated? At the right hand of God. At the right hand of power. There is nothing that is impossible. There is nothing that is too hard. Oh my God, you chambak said, you don't got no trouble. All you need is faith in God. Faith in God will move mountains. Faith in God will cause the devil to run. Faith in God, the prayer of faith will heal the sick and raise them up. I want to tell somebody today, become a friend of God. Set yourself up for victory. Set yourself up for help. Set yourself up to be upheld by God's right hand. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. So there are benefits being a friend of God. Let's leave the elementary things behind. And let's go on to maturity. Servants serve for what they can get. Friends stick around because they understand. Talk to God. Say, Lord, I want to understand. Raskatile rebes kandoros kitila. The revelation would not have come if they had gone back to their old life. But he said to them, wait in the place of prayer. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait in the word. Wait in fellowship. Wait, 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 wait. Be patient. Wait, wait. Tarry that you may carry. Tarry that you may carry. Tarry that you may carry. We went long today. Why? Because we're tarrying so that we can carry. I say you got hands laid on you. We tarried so that we can carry. You stand in worship. You're tarrying in worship so that you can carry. Tarry that you may carry in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today. Tell God, say, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend, Lord. I want to understand the things of the kingdom. Let light, say, Lord, let the light of the Spirit come. Let the illumination of the Holy Ghost come. The entrance of your word, give it light. Even as the word has gone forth, let the light go off in your people today. Let the light go off. Let the light go off. Let the light go off today. Let the light, let them see themselves as how you see them. Let them see themselves as how you see them. Let them see themselves as glory carriers. People that are marked, that has destiny, that has a great end, that is greater than the beginning. In the name of Jesus, the word of God says your latter shall be greater than your former. Your latter shall be greater than your former. He said, yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will carry you. I will sing songs of deliverance over you because you're my friend. Because you understand. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you the thanks for what you have done and what you're going to do, what you have done and what you will do. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to be done. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all the praise, all the honor and the glory. Anybody love his presence? Just take a moment and lift your hand and tell him, Lord, I love your presence. I will abide. Just make a commitment to abide. I will abide this week. Yeah, I will have a lifestyle of abiding. I will abide. I will abide. I will abide. I will remain. I will stay grounded. Oh, I'll move on from elementary things. I'm going to go on to maturity. I'm going to go on to maturity in the mighty name of Jesus.